Bridging the gap in sustainable agriculture, helping farmers better understand additional revenue opportunities, the goals, and the challenges. That's what we're covering in this episode of Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve.
Welcome to Extreme Ag's Cutting the Curve podcast, where real farmers share real insights and real results to help you improve your farming operation. And now, here's your host, Damian Mason.
Hey there, coming at you from the Truterra booth, Commodity Classic 2024. We're talking about bridging the gap in sustainable agriculture, helping farmers, that's our audience, better understand additional revenue opportunities, the goals, and the challenges. My guest, Amber Lusink, she is with Truterra. She's married to an Iowa farmer. He's Dutch, which means they're from the northwest part of the state. Probably cheap, but also our friend Kelly Garrett right here, who is a pioneer in this carbon program space in sustainable agriculture and also in getting paid for it. One of the things we did this morning, Amber, we had a panel and we talked about getting money for practices that improve your soil health, improve the environment, and more importantly, your bottom line. There's this problem where there's a disconnect. People believe if I'm doing regenerative type practices, if I'm cover cropping, if I'm cutting back on applications of things, if I'm no-tilling, I'm probably losing yield. Kelly, the statement you made 6 months ago has been a defining statement. Say it right now.
My sustainable path and my high yield path are converging and becoming one, and I believe it's the right way to farm, to be in collaboration with Mother Nature, not competition.
Yeah. There's not this idea that now sustainability goes this way to the low yield way and intensive management for yield goes over here and just uses the heck out of resources. We're realizing, you're realizing, you can have it, you can have your cake and eat it too. Amber, you sat in the audience. Give me your first initial reaction of what you heard on stage today when we had the four panelists from Extreme Ag and we had Mariah from your company. Takeaway.
Well, my takeaway was really just the opportunity for farmers. Like Kelly says, it's not just, you know, I'm like, you know, he said, I'm married to a farmer. I understand the high yield piece of it, but you're not actually sacrificing. And then just the ecosystem marketplace is there to reward farmers, to encourage farmers, to, you know, provide that additional revenue income. I think that just is all very important to the bottom line.
So when we talk about the convergence and there's still some skepticism about that, we're not even going to get into the programs, just get the skepticism. You can prove you are getting yield, huge yield, you're setting records, you're right in the running for Iowa State contest yields, and you've been at this for a while. You started cover cropping how many years ago?
We started messing around with cover crops clear back in 2015 and incorporated more and more over time.
Yeah, so 9 to 10 years, it'll be your 10th season of cover cropping coming up, and you've got it now. How many of your acres get a cover crop?
We attempt to put them on all 100%.
Okay, some acres don't because of timing, whatever.
Northern latitude,
yeah.
You know.
All right,
harvest.
What about reduction in tillage? There's a reason you reduce tillage. You have fields in Crawford County, Iowa that, as I always joke, if they were in my part of the world, we'd put a snow machine out there, a chairlift, and we would just call it a ski slope.
Yes, that's true. You know, we have been minimum till almost all of my life, as long as I can remember. In 2012, when we were going heavier corn on corn and things like that, we put row cleaners on the planter at that time, and that's when I would say we went to 100% no-till.
Okay, so you're 100% no-till since?
12.
Since 12. So obviously now you're in your second decade of that. Did you sacrifice yield by adapting no-till in the first year?
No, I don't think we did. Actually, 12 was a pretty terrible drought, and the moisture conservation that year really helped out.
Got it. Amber's nodding her head. Is this a story you hear? Because we know the skepticism. I can't make any of these conservation, sustainable type programs work because you know what? I have to go out there and my soil's different. You hear that?
Yes.
That won't work where I am. I've heard farmers from one township to the next tell me that something won't work. You hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Your response?
Well, my response is yes, I hear it. I understand everyone's different. And I think everyone's risk tolerance is different too. And that's why, you know, at Truterra, we do have a program called the Financial Assistance Program. And so exactly what that is, you know, to provide financial assistance for farmers that are wanting to try these things. You haven't wanted to dip your toes in the water for cover crop or going to no-till. That's a scary thing. I get that. I'm married to a farmer, dare I say, till it black farmer, high yield as much as possible, right? I love him. But I get it. It's scary. And so that's exactly what Chutera wants to do, is just to really meet farmers where they're at, to be able to provide that financial assistance, try to mitigate some of those risks, even them out a little bit, to let you try it. Try it before you buy it, right? And so that's a program that we're really excited about, and we're seeing really great success with.
By the way, you're probably asking a question, dear listener and viewer, as well as our audience here live at Commodity Classic 2024 in the Chutera booth. Chutera Financial Assistant Plan. Where do I get me that money? It's not out yet. Sign up begins?
Yes, so sign up will begin in August. And so if you've heard about the Climate Smart commodities funding through USDA, there's a lot of grant recipients. Chutera is very proud to be one of those grant recipients. And what that means is really getting money into the hands of farmers and our ag retailers to scale a conservation agronomy workforce, but to also provide financial assistance for these practices to encourage the adoption. Because then what does that mean? You start cover crop, you see the benefits, you increase your soil health, and then you're also eligible to participate in some of those commercial ecosystems, so Chutera's commercial program. And so now you're starting to stack more programs and increase that profit per acre. And so, like Damien said, that program will launch in August, and we're really excited about that. So that's, you know, we're launching a little bit early in the year to help you start think about, you know, what do I want to do in that 25 crop season? So that's the why we're timing it that way.
Okay, so if you were in our session this morning, and if you were not, it's all the same story. And to the listeners and viewers listening to this episode of Cutting the Curve, I want to go ahead and toss this out there. I met Kelly Garrett because in December of 2020, he was written up in the Wall Street Journal cover story about receiving money for carbon programs. I said at that time, he'll say that I stalked him, which I had to do to find him. And I said, hey, introduce myself, and said, I'm Dave Mason. I record this, this stuff. And I said, I got to tell you, you're the first person I've ever heard about. We've been hearing about carbon programs for a decade. You're the first person I've heard about that actually got money. Tell me about that. So Gus, give us your story. We talked about no-till since 2012. We talked about cover crops since 2017. We talked about all that stuff. But your journey on getting money, Kelly, and now bringing it forward to today with programs like we're talking about that are in the marketplace right now, because that's what everybody here wants to hear about.
In the spring of 2020, Extreme Ag was approached looking for an early adopter to go into the carbon market and be the first person to get paid. I researched it. I didn't really think I'd ever get paid, but all we had invested was time, so I didn't think it was a big risk. We went through, took us about 55 or 60 hours to compile all of the paperwork, all the information, because they, you know, at that time we were kind of making it up as we went along. They were trying to refine the process.
And the main thing is it was looking back. They said, what did you do a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago in terms of product usage and practices?
Yes.
Okay.
We had to go back with yields and rotation, things like that, from 10 all the way to 19. And then we were going to sell the carbon sequestered in the years 15 through 19. We went all the way through that program, and I think it was just short of 22,750 credits. They were worth $15 a piece, you know, a ton and a credit are the same thing, $15 a piece. Shopify bought the first 5,000 credits on December 1st of 2020 for $75,000. And then all told, between December 1st and then Labor Day of 21, we ended up collecting all the money. We got all the credits sold. It was $341,000. In the spring of 21, you know, Mariah called, and I became involved with Chutera. In the first program, we put in 3,000 acres, which was half the farm. Then Mariah called. We went into the original Chutera contract. It was another 3,000 acres. We got about $200,000 out of that. And we've stayed involved with Chutera until this day. And now this summer, you know, we have to be signed up by July 1st. We'll sell the carbon for 21, 22, and 23.
Got it. Your perspective from your job, Amber, he was early on, and we're going to talk about some early adopter stuff. Is that a typical story?
It is. I will say it is, and it's really fun to hear where Kelly came from, right? And I can picture, like, you know, a few years ago when we talk about we were just figuring it out and we're working through some data on a spreadsheet and we're just trying to understand downstream and upstream and just seeing, you know, the progression of the market since then is just so exciting. I know I'm biased, right? I get to work for Chutera every day, but I have a peek behind the curtain too. So I know what it means to, you know, be Kelly and be a farmer. I know what goes on at Truterra and, you know, how we work for the farmer and just really try to make that, you know, data is a big, you know, it's a buzzword, right? When you talk about carbon programs, it's a burden. And so how can we, you know, lift that burden and truly reward? I think that's the key thing here too, is like truly write the check, right? And so that's why I get very passionate about this, is because I do get to work for Truterra, but I also get to see behind the scenes and how, you know, how we are founded on, you know, a 100-year-old cooperative, a farmer owned, and how we truly do work for the farmer. And so that's why I get excited.
All right, I want to hit on a few things, and we're going to talk about the money, because let's face it, you're trying to do this. We handed out something that talked about acres, it talked about money, because let's face it, these are business decisions. We're in a situation, as we addressed this morning, and if you're listening to this episode while you're driving or at home, let's face it, 2023, last year, farm income, we're down 25% from there. That's the projection for 2024. We're going to be down 25% from last year. We're going to be down 40% from 2022. The high water mark, best record revenue in farms that we've ever had, 21, 22, and 23. We're going to come down from that precipitously. If you're going to be losing 40% of your income, let's look for a way to diversify income. And that's why now Kelly talks about, I've got these different enterprises. You know, he's got his trucking company, he's got his plant food business, but also he's got this. And this is income diversification, which any person that's ever run their own business realize, you know, the old thing, all your eggs in one basket. This is income diversification, which matters more on these down years. If it's 25 bucks an acre, if it's whatever it is, and maybe that didn't matter at $7 corn. It sure as heck matters now.
It really does matter now. You know, it's we raise corn and soybeans and wheat, and we also sell our carbon. It's like having another crop to sell. And, you know, there's been people that are skeptical, but they become a lot less skeptical when the margins get tighter. It's unfortunate that it takes that to make people wake up and pay attention, but you have another crop to sell. Why aren't you involved?
Tell me about the money. Since in the last 2 years, how much is Truterra? I mean, the money comes from other sources, mm-hmm. corporations, the Spotify's, Nestle, whatever it should be.
Yep.
And then it goes to you, mm-hmm. and then it goes to the farmers.
Yep.
How much?
$20 million. So, you know, we're very proud of that we've, you know, we've been able to reward $20 million to farmers for adopting these, you know, these farming practices.
A little louder for the people in the back. Temple's back there on his phone. How many dollars again?
$20 million.
$20 million. And that's in the last 3 years?
Yes.
Okay.
Since 2021.
Okay, since 2021. $20 million. That's not chicken feed. $20 million. Again, it's not as much as revenue off of an Iowa acre on corn bushels, but it's money that you didn't have an input cost on other than doing some practices, which you probably are doing anyhow.
Right, and it's all net. It's all net. We're doing these practices anyhow for agronomic reasons. Mm-hmm. Here's another revenue stream that's all net. So even though it isn't the same as an acre of corn, the acre of corn is a gross. This is a net.
So one of the things we talked about in this morning was reclaiming the word sustainable, because it's got a degree of skepticism. Your BS meter immediately just starts registering like a Geiger counter as soon as I hear the word sustainable. I've been hearing it for more than a decade. What I said this morning, though, was a farmer's only sustainable if it's here tomorrow and next year and the next generation. And for that to happen, the finances have to work. This is another revenue source that certainly on slow years helps, but also it's helping your bottom line, not just with the money that comes in currently. Ideally, your asset is improving, meaning the dirt you walk on, which is selling for $15,000 an acre. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is very accurate. You're improving your soil, you're improving your crops, you're improving your operations ROI by using these practices, in my opinion, and you have another revenue stream.
Do we have questions from anybody in the crowd that wants to address any of the stuff we're talking about right now? A question to clarify, money, programs, history, what you have to do. We talked this morning a little bit about some of the practices. You might be already doing them. We talked in this morning session, I thought it was very informative. Chad brought up and Matt brought up, you don't have to be 100% no-till. You don't have to be 100% cover crop to still have the ability to hop in on some of these sustainability or carbon type programs.
Exactly. You know, my point would be, if you want to try something, try all of it on a few acres. I would hesitate, or I would be reluctant to tell you to try one or two things on many acres. You're going to just kind of dip your toe in it. You're going to be unhappy with the result. It's a systems approach. Try the whole system on a few of your acres instead of part of the system on all of your acres. You're going to have a better experience.
Got it. Your thoughts.
And that leads directly, I mean, I didn't pay Kelly to say that, I promise you, but that's exactly what our financial assistance program is to try before you buy. And it's to try those things, to try, you want to go too, and I was surprised. I did not think that we'd have, we did a little pilot here, 15,000 acres here in 2023, and about 80% of our enrollees went to no-till and cover crop in the same year, right? They didn't just gradually do that. I was surprised at that. So we are seeing that the majority of farmers are going to want to try the whole system approach, and that's exactly what the financial assistance program offers.
Amber, the doctor's kid is always sick. The cobbler's kids have no shoes. Married to a farmer that's a Tillett Black, Northwest Iowa guy, how many of your acres are enrolled in programs like this?
Yes, yes. Well, we had about 8,000 acres enrolled in our market access program because that was a program that we used to have just to, you know, get farmers interested in carbon. Like, what does it mean? It was kind of a gateway into the carbon market. So I twisted his arm. So I got him in.
You got the stubborn Dutch farmer to change his ways?
I did.
Oh,
it wasn't me. He already had it in his brain, right?
Mr. Lusink, answer my question right now. Is it the money or is it some other persuasive method? It's because of her.
Yes.
Is it working? Say it louder.
It does work.
It does work. And you're in your third year, fourth year?
Second
year. All right. Reduction in tillage. And did you do cover cropping?
Not
just
yet.
Reduction in tillage. And then any other practices that are in that helped you comply?
We will start incorporating strip till as well.
Strip till is your next thing?
Yep.
Got it, fantastic. Anybody else got anything from the floor? You had a question before we started, Matthew.
Now I had a question, can you do flexible field boundaries? What I mean by that is we are seed corn producers in Northwestern Illinois, and we have to have a setback for all of our seed corn fields to prevent cross-pollination.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that setback changes depending on where the neighbor's corn is located. So some areas will have corn and the beans, and then
yep.
we might change the shape of our seed.
Because of the compliance to make sure the genetic production
yep.
is there. The question for the person that's listening or watching this podcast from our friend Matthew, he's a seed corn production business in Northwest Illinois, and he said, can we have flexible borders,
boundaries.
Flexible borders on the field
boundaries.
And the boundaries. And the boundaries may move based on what your contracts, let's say, with your seed corn genetic company, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Flexible borders.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
I completely understand that. We work with farmers with very different circumstances. And so that's what's great about Truterra is that there's actually real people that understand farming, you know, kind of at Truterra. And so we understand those circumstances. And so we work with you directly one-on-one with that because, you know, at the end of the day, it is a registered asset, right? And there are some things to work around, but that's not a problem.
Other questions from anybody out here that has a question? We want to make it as informative and interactive as possible. All right. Early adopters. Oh, and by the way, much of this goes through your retailer, if you have a Land O'Lakes retailer. My Land O'Lakes retailer is right over there. That'd be Dan and Cindy Blocker. So you can go, making him famous everywhere he shows up. I would like to point out, though, you sign up for these programs. How hard is it? How hard is it really?
It's not.
It was pretty daunting for an early pioneer.
Oh, yeah.
Have we made it more streamlined?
Yes, we have. Kelly, I'd love to hear your perception of, you know, now versus a few years ago and how far we've come.
Well, now being signed up in the program and you're in the database and things like that, Mike Busing, my retailer, it's seamless. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's a phone call.
And in your case, that's one of his services, the officer. He makes it even more seamless
mm-hmm.
for
yes.
you. Okay. One of the things that we talked about in the early riser session, in the early days of Conservation Reserve Program, which was 1986, if you were already a conservation farmer, you might get kicked out or not eligible. You were ineligible for a Conservation Reserve Program contract if you were already doing the right thing. If you had highly erodible ground, and instead of row cropping it and tilling it every year, you said, I'm going to put it in a cereal grain and mix it with an alfalfa, something like that. You couldn't get enrolled in CRP because it had to be row cropped, tilled traditionally, all that for like two of the most recent 5 years. You got punished for doing the right thing. Something you're excited about, early adopter program, like our man Johnny Varell.
Mm-hmm.
They've been no-tilling in western Tennessee for almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
He still is eligible. He didn't have to stop tilling or start tilling
right.
to stop tilling to be eligible.
Yeah.
Speak to that.
Yeah, so that's one thing, you know, just to kind of show you how the market evolves. I mean, the carbon markets are still quite young, really, in the grand scheme of things. And so we're still learning. But Truterra commercially does have a long-term adopter program to be able to reward those farmers. But one thing I'm especially excited about is we talk about that climate smart funding, that grant from the USDA. One specific pot of money, per se, that we have is to be able to get into the hands of farmers that have been those long-term adopters. And so that's what's exciting is, you know, this program to launch here in August. We do have it in a few different regions throughout the United States. But it's exactly that. These farmers that have been standing in the back of the room saying, what about me? I've been doing this right for 20 years and I don't get to participate. And this is a program for them.
Nobody's going to put you on the spot. And we know this is not a contractual, a verbal contract. The question that anybody has that's listening to this right now is how much per acre? And I know you're going to say, well, it depends. Just like, you know, you go to a lawyer. Well, it depends. But an average, anybody can at least say, our average contract is this, or the last 50 people we've signed up, it looks like that. Can you give me a number that at least I have a ballpark? If it's $1 an acre, I ain't fooling with it.
I will tell you, for our financial assistance program, you're going to be looking at, you know, up to about $100 an acre. Our early adopter program, so those are those guys standing in the back saying, I'm doing it right all this time, up to about $25 an acre.
Okay. Up to about $25 an acre for the?
The early adopter.
And then if you, and do I have to have more qualifications, more issues to get the Truterra financial assistance program?
Yeah, so the financial assistance is that first time, right? You've never done these things before and you're on that field.
So asking the questions that I think our audience has, but before that, what questions are in here? You got a question. You've got a question, my friend David. You said you had a lot of them.
Yeah.
North Kansas. Which is funny, he says North Kansas, you know, just south of Kearney, which is in another state, Nebraska. So anyway, yes.
So I was talking earlier with someone here. My son bought some land and continued to no-till. The gentleman that had been no-tilling it has passed away. Mm-hmm. So how do we prove that it's been no-tilled for 12 years, 10 or 12 years?
Yep. It's a great question. Before you answer it, for the people that are watching or listening, David Sass, North Kansas, or just south of Kearney, Nebraska, says, my son bought some land. It's been in no-till for about a dozen years, but my son's only owned it for
1 year.
To go back and prove the practices, we didn't even operate it. Can I go back and prove the practices to be eligible for program money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. It comes down to a couple things. And so with our ease of enrollment platform, we do use a lot of remote sense. And so while that's not, that is not a golden ticket, and we understand that, but it comes down to grower attestation. Like, you know, can you prove, you know, and you can attest that you've been in that no-till scenario, that field has been in that no-till scenario, then we'll work with you.
Okay.
Yep.
So, I mean, you're not talking about going to USDA because that's not really something that's there. So it becomes a bit more challenging, but still provable?
Still provable. And that's really, like, you know, when we talk about we're for the farmer, I mean, this is a prime example of we have a, you know, through our Truterra retail network, we have a dedicated team at Truterra that works directly with farmers as well. That's what we're here for, is to work with you.
All right, I'll throw an example out there because since you guys like to work with farmers, there was 160 acres in 2012 that I bid on at an auction. I didn't get it bought. But Truterra doesn't know that. I would like to enroll those 160 acres that I actually don't own in this. Can I still get paid?
Well, that would be unethical. So, no, we don't really endorse that, Damien.
We don't endorse that.
But you didn't say it's not a possibility.
Yeah, I guess if there's dishonest folks out there, then
you're
guess they
the
can do what they want.
Because you're not the operator of the
thing is,
FSA.
Yeah. And the thing is that you'd have a hard time, you know, coming up with, you know, reliable and credible information. So that'd be a challenge.
Kelly, you've been sitting here quietly for a little while. What do you got for us on all this? So you are the most well-versed of most anybody on navigating all this, making it work, making it pay. But again, contributing to the bottom line.
Yeah, you know, farming this way to me is the right way to farm, as I've said many, many times. Applying for the program, implementing the program with Truterra is not difficult. It's another revenue stream. It's akin to selling another crop in tough economic times. In good economic times, why wouldn't you just want all of the opportunities available? Why wouldn't you want to sell your carbon if corn's $7 or if corn's $3.50?
Is there anything you want to make sure we get covered? Is there anything you would like to make sure we get covered on behalf of your company? And then David, any more questions? Question from your kid? No? Anybody else there? You good? All right. I think we can about leave it there. We've covered a lot of good stuff. Recapping some of the big highlights from today were that there is compliance and there's programs that you can get in on. It's not just one program, right?
Right. There's many programs, and that really leads into just really the ease of enrollment that we strive for farmers. So if you just want to go to truterraag.com, that'll take you to the place. You can upload some boundaries, look at, you know, what opportunities are available, and maybe even what opportunities are coming soon.
I guess I can remember when there was a lot of other things that were either faced with a great deal of farmer skepticism. No-till in the early 1980s was a brand new thing, and it faced a tremendous amount of farmer skepticism. The Huntington County Natural Resource Conservation Service bought a no-till planter, and they'd come out and plant your acres for free if you agreed to do some trialing. We were one of those, because we were so busy making hay. We said, great, come out, and, you know, making first cutting hay. He said, and we did that. That was skeptical. Now you no-till everything, and it works just fine, and you're setting yield records. So I've seen farmer skepticism before. I think the big challenge here is getting past some of the farmer skepticism. Your answer to them?
My answer to them?
Yes.
Is, you know, kind of what I touched on before, is that I do have a peek behind the curtain, and, you know, I kind of joke around, like, can I sleep at night, or will I go to jail for this with some of the compliance work? And I can sleep at night, and, you know, my husband's a farmer, he's an agronomist, and I've seen some of the information that he comes home with, and we have to have a little talk and set him straight on, you know, what's a good carbon program out there. But that's what I feel really good about, and I can be honest about that, and, you know, that's why I work for Truterra, is because I believe in it.
And the future, are you going to be doing more of this? Are you going to be getting paid more? Is there going to be something else coming down? What's your vision? You're a big picture guy.
I believe that there will be more programs come down. I believe that biofuels and regenerative fuels, renewable fuels, will become more involved. And yeah, I think it'll get to be worth more.
It's my personal impression, and that, you know, as a person that's been paying attention for a long time, future USDA programs, future farm bills, in my opinion, are going to say, if you want to be enrolled in our crop insurance matching program or whatever those things are, you're going to also be part of one of these. That's where I think things go. Am I off the reservation there?
No, I think you're correct.
Yeah, so that's
what pains me to say that.
I mean, as they always say, what's Wayne Gretzky's famous quote? I'm successful because I don't skate to where the puck is. I skate to where the puck is going. This is where the puck is going. I think you're smart to be in these sessions and to listen to this, and basically, you can still have the skepticism. But unless we're completely off base, this is where the future is going. And you can look at other countries, and it's a whole lot better here. Mm-hmm. Trust me. Her name is Amber Lusink. She is with Truterra Ag. TruterraAg.com is how you find them and talk on these programs. His name is Kelly Garrick. The reason we met is because of this very thing right here. Sorry, or maybe not sorry. That's up for you to decide, buddy. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks so much for listening to us. You know what? We produced hundreds of these videos and hundreds of these audio podcasts, so please go and check them out. It's basically a library. Videos that guys like Kelly shoot out in the field talking about stuff like this, from sustainability to cover crops to nutrient utilization to profitability on your farm to improving your asset. It's all there at extremeag.farm. I'm Damian Mason. Thanks so much for being here. Until next time.
That's a wrap for this episode of Cutting the Curve. Make sure to check out extremeag.farm for more great content to help you squeeze more profit out of your farming operation.